As I'm getting ready, if you've got your Bibles this morning and you would like to turn, where we're going to be, we'll be in Exodus chapter 14. Thank you, sir. Who in the house of the Lord has had something wonderful happen to him this morning? Anybody? Come on, we got a couple. Has the Lord been good to you this week? Amen. Give him a round of applause. Amen. All right. As we get started, I'll jump right in. If this thing will work, there we go. I'll jump right in. The message of today's sermon is the God who fights for us. And it comes from the central verse, the key verse of the whole message is Exodus 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Would you please pray with me? Lord, Heavenly Father, God, firstly, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I just thank you for the ability to get to come and preach your word. Lord Jesus, I just pray that the words that are spoken here today are your words, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that they would fall on open and receiving hearts, Lord. I pray that lives would be changed this morning, Lord Jesus, that people would come to a deeper understanding of you, Lord God, and submit their lives to you. God, I just pray that you would just have your will, have your way in all things done here this morning. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get started in verse 1. Now, before we even get rocking and rolling here, four of the most important words that we are going to read today are at the very beginning of this message. Now the Lord spoke. Everything that comes after that hinges on that one simple point. The Lord spoke this. And this was not simply just a story about something that somebody made up. This is a historical account of what actually happened to the Israelites escaping Egypt. And we need to understand that as we go through it, because this awe-inspiring event happens, and it can be very easy to fall into a place of like, oh, well, you know, that's a really cool story, but did it happen? And I'm here to tell you, yes. It absolutely happened because God said it happened. Amen. Now it says, the Lord spoke, and he spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. I've got a few different pictures as we go through. I apologize if you're further in the back. If you're closer, you can see. It kind of sets the scene of everything that's going on as we go. Right here is Moses standing in front of the Israelites, possibly speaking or just preparing, whatever that looks like. You'll see a couple of different ones as we go. He continues, he says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. A couple of things stick out to me there. The first thing is that God sends his people to a place of complete reliance on him. You know, it says that God directs them to take up camp right there at the edge of the sea. There ain't anywhere to go whenever you get to the edge of the sea, right? God, in his sovereignty, a point that we need to understand is that he has the right to put us in a spot of complete dependence and reliance on him. And the second thing, he does it so that his glory may be shown. He's a righteous, holy, wonderful, perfect God, and he has the right to put us in a hard spot or to allow us to be placed in a hard spot so that he may be glorified. Are we all on the same page there? Now, this is going to get a little bit heavy here in a few verses. I need you all to bear with me, but I want to make sure as we go that we all are at an understanding, that we all understand that God is righteous, holy, and he can do whatever he wants to do. He continues in verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. A couple of things that stick out to me here. This event takes place shortly after the 10 plagues that overwhelm Egypt. God gave Pharaoh 10 opportunities to repent from his wickedness, to change his mind about God and about God's people. And over again, whether it rained blood, whether there was cicadas, whether the firstborn child of all of Egypt died, he did not change his mind, not once. And after all of that, after the Israelites leave, knowing that it's going to continue the same pattern, after God sends them out, even after all that, Pharaoh does not change his mind. He goes straight back to where he was in resentment to God and resentment to his people. And the Bible tells us, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now what that means, it doesn't mean that God intentionally made Pharaoh angry or that he intentionally made Pharaoh resent the people of Israel. What it means is he allowed Pharaoh to already go down the path that he was already going. He allowed his heart to be hardened because that's what Pharaoh was already doing. He allowed the consequences of his actions to come to fulfillment. And something that stuck out to me is that God allowed that. He allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. He allowed the anger to continue to seep up, even though it was against his people. And the question that I have about that is, what does that show us about God? Because if God knew that this man, this Pharaoh, had ill intentions for his people, why would he allow him to continue in the same direction of destruction and anger and wrath that he was already in? I believe it shows us two things. Number one is that evil is not a problem for God. Evil has no foothold in God. There's often this misconception that, you know, like the powers of forces and the powers of good and the powers of evil are battling like this. And they are in the spiritual realm, but you see, God is outside of that. It's not God that's combating against evil. He doesn't have to. Job tells us that evil can only happen if God allows it to happen. And that might be a hard pill to swallow, but it is true. Nothing that happens in all creation happens outside of God's allowing it. And the reason he allows things like that is because we live in a lost and dying world. Often, time and time again, people will find themselves in situations with other people, God-fearing people, that they will be asked, if God is all good, if God is all powerful, if God is all this, if God is all that, why does he allow evil things to happen? Anybody ever been asked that before? Right? Why does he allow, maybe we even ask it ourselves, God, why do you allow evil things to happen? And I'm here to submit that it's because if he had destroyed every evil thing, all of us would be gone. Not a single one in this room would still be standing here. And the problem with the question in and of itself is it removes a holy and righteous God from the judgment seat and it places us there. And we're just as evil and just as sinful and just as wicked as anybody else. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some have made the decision to give their life to Christ and to be born again. So as we continue, remember this, that God is not affected by evil, and if he destroyed all evil, none of us would be left. As we go into verse 9, it says, "So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?'" Watch this next one. "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Before we continue past that, we're in verse 12. Five short verses ago, at verse 8, it ended like this. "The children of Israel went out with boldness." So five short verses later, we go from going out in boldness, faithfully following God, to resenting and name-calling, and asking these hypocritical questions of the leader that God has called. It says, they said, "It would have been better for us to serve than that we should die." In other words, it would be better to stay trapped in sin than to die to ourselves every single day. It would be better that we continue living this comfortable life than to have to bear that cross daily and follow after the Lord. See, they were saying the truth that we all have thought, that everybody has said at one point. I notice that in verse 8, they go quickly from there, boldly serving God, to as soon as things get hard in verse 9, they're crying out to the Lord in verse 10, which there's nothing wrong with. When things get hard, that's the right thing to do, is to cry out to the Lord. I'm not saying that you can't do that. But the problem is, when they didn't get an immediate answer, an immediate resolution, then they give up. Just like that. In two quick verses. And then that's where the truth presents itself. They didn't just say it'd been better for us to be slaves and for us to continue in bondage in Egypt because they were afraid at that moment. See, that's the truth that had been hidden all along. Even though we have a God that fights for us, they are not seeing that at this moment. All they see is sea and army. What we're fixing to read, leaders, I need you to pay very close attention. Fathers, husbands, mothers leading over your children, teachers, parts lead men, managers. I need you to see this and understand this if you are going to be faithful and serve God. It says in verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." That sounds awesome. That sounds great, right? Moses is right here. The Red Sea being ripped in half is over there. He said that in the face of, logically, they're doomed. They're surrounded, water behind them, nowhere to go. The faith of that man happened before the miracle took place. Are y'all understanding me? The miracle could take place because of the obedience that happened over here. Because he understood at this point that we serve a God that fights for us. He already knew. There was no wavering in him. That's coming, but it was because of what happened right here. And he goes on to say, our key verse, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." He goes on to say, leaders, I need you to hear this too. It says, "The Lord said to Moses." Who did the Lord say something to? Moses. "Why do you cry to me?" Did Moses cry to God? It wasn't Moses that cried out to God. But what we need to understand here is that because of his faithfulness, because he was a good leader, if you question whether or not you are leading righteously and correctly before God, weigh yourself against this right here. Who does God use to answer someone else's prayer? A faithful leader. See, it wasn't Moses that cried out to God. It was the people he was leading. When we faithfully serve God, he will use us to answer other people's prayers. He will use us to intercede for other people in pain. Fathers, husbands, when you are faithfully serving God, he will use you to answer the prayers of your wife. Ask me how I know. Without you even knowing. You don't know who your children could be interceding with. You don't know who your wife could be begging for God to save. And maybe, just maybe, he's calling you to walk out of your comfort and go and tell somebody about God. Remember that he will fight for you and he will go before you. He's not calling you somewhere that you haven't already been. He will lead you there. But it comes down to us to have obedience in him. And it continues in verse 16, "But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, that they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen." God didn't just say, "I'm looking to gain honor and glory over Pharaoh." He said, I'm coming for all of it. And he continues in verse 18, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. He doesn't just say, hey, I'm coming for all of it. He says, you can go ahead and clock it because it's going to happen. Let's see if he's right. In verse 19, it says, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other at all. God protected his people while preparing to do what he had planned to do. And not only did he just protect them from the enemy, it says that there was a cloud of light and darkness between the two to where one could not reach the other. He didn't even leave a way for them to accidentally fall back into the hands of the enemy. That is the God that we serve. And he goes on to say in 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and their left. I'm left with a question. Who was it that split the sea? God. Y'all got it. It was God that split the sea. Moses' obedience allowed for God to split the sea. Now, God would have had his way regardless. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But because Moses was obedient, God could use him as a vessel to split that sea. And the next statement I have, there are some things only God can get you through. When your back is against a wall, or in their position, water, with nowhere to go, and the forces are surrounding you, it is only faith in the one that fights for us that's going to get you through that. But that applies to everything in life. That applies to your addictions. That applies to the wrath that you face. That applies to the anxiety and the depression. You are never going to will it away. Hear me. That lust that you keep battling, you keep finding yourself on that website, you're never going to will it away. You're never going to will the anger away that you have built inside of you, because it has to take a supernatural move of the Holy God to make it happen. There are some things that only he can get you through. And people will go their whole life without submitting to him and wasting years that they could have experienced freedom. And I was going to start closing it up right there, but I know God told us the rest of the story for the Egyptians for a reason, and someone in here needs to hear it. Let's go. Verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. His horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. I'm going to say it one more time. His horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. There's Pharaoh's. Now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. It doesn't say the Israelites walking through the open sea troubled them. It says he troubled them. It says he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. I imagine so. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea a second time. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And all of that, he says, then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, not so much as one of them remained. He said, clock it. That's where he stopped it. It didn't take long. He did it in one night. He said, hey, I just want to let you know. He's like, I'm warning y'all in advance. This is what's going to happen, and it's for this reason, because I go before you, and I fight the battles for you, and I'm going to show you. So whenever they come out of the sea, it says, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. It resubmits what it said earlier. Just in case you forgot, it says they were a wall to them on the right and to the left. And it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. He showed them what the victory looked like. He said, evil is no problem for me. When I go before you, this is what happens. They didn't stand a chance. How many swords did Israel have to raise up? How many times did they have to turn around and, oh no, all they had to do was walk in faith, follow behind the one that was leading them or before them, and just keep walking. Now, what would have happened had they stopped in the midst of the sea when things looked grim? They wouldn't have made it to the other side, I'll tell you that. The Egyptians could have overtaken them. The sea, when it came back in, could have overtaken them. But God did not allow that. And by their faith, they made it through to the other side. And the last verse says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. As Nate begins to come, I have a couple of things that I want to submit to you. Number one, somebody in here needs to hear this morning. It is okay to not be okay. It is okay to not have everything figured out. It is okay to fall short. It happens to every single one of us. It is okay to not be perfect. I lived that this Monday morning. Some of the guys from the men's group are here. Or this Monday evening, I apologize. We have our normal time of prayer every single week, and they say, hey, do we have any prayer requests this week? And, you know, every now and then I'll submit, hey, guys, will y'all please pray for this individual? This is what they're going through. All the guys say, hey, will you pray for this? Will you pray for that? Hey, I've been struggling with this. And I'm usually pretty quiet and reserved. It's hard for me to open up, believe it or not. As much as I like to yap, it's hard for me to open up. And we came to the end of it, and I was just heavy. And I said, I know that I have to just say something. And I sat there 5-10 minutes and just poured my heart out to y'all, didn't I? I said, I'm worried about this. I'm afraid of this. I'm sad about this. I am struggling. And you know how much judgment I faced for that? Not an ounce of it came from those men. Why? Because they all recognize and understand the exact same thing. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, and we were all at the bottom of the barrel at some point. Zero judgment. That's what I submit to you this morning. He is a God that goes before us, and he fights for us. But you've got to go to him. You've got to go to him, and he'll meet you where you are. Whether that's with your back to a sea, or it's just a lost, broken sinner in need of saving, or I even submit this, you have been saved and you have just fallen short. He doesn't hold that over you. You don't go to God and say, hey God, I'm really sorry. And he just gets angry with you. No, he says, hey, that's been taken care of. Thank you for bringing it to me. Let's get back to what we were doing. I need you to know that we all go through things that we cannot get through apart from him. He's the God that fights for us, because there are some things he has to fight for us. There are some things, addiction, anxiety, depression, there are certain things that you will never overcome without him. It's not going to happen. And lastly, I already said it, but I need to resubmit this to you again. He is a God that meets you where you are. If you are here this morning, you are lost and undone without God, He will meet you right here. And if you can't get right here, raise your hand when we start praying. I'll come out there. I'll send somebody to you. He will meet you where you are. Whether that's with your C or your back backed up to a C with nowhere else to go, or it's simply just lost and undone. He is calling for a personal, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And I love you to death, and I'd be doing you an injustice this morning if I did not tell you, if you leave here in a worse or the same spot that you're already in, that's dumb. Because I've told you exactly how to fix it. It's right here. Take with it what you want. But the Bible says there are some things that only change by praying and fasting, that only come out by praying and fasting. That doesn't leave it up to negotiation. That doesn't mean that you might be able to get some. No. Praying and fasting. And it doesn't just mean fasting from food. What fasting is giving up self in order to seek Him. That's all we're trying to do. So we're fixing to open the altar up. And if anybody in here needs anything, there's no shame. It's a beautiful song. There is no shame here. A wonderful man that mentored me as I grew up and as I ran from God, and he finally preached the gospel into my heart. He called it a loading dock. You can unload all of the nonsense and load up all of the goodness. And the thing about a loading dock is it don't happen just one time. Over and over and over. It is okay to not be okay. If you would, please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Heavenly Father, firstly, I just want to thank you for being the God that fights for us, for being the God that goes before us even into the midst of the sea, Lord, and makes a way where we see no way. God, I just pray that every soul under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they would know you, and if they don't know you, that they would take this wonderful gift of time you have given us to get to know you. Lord, we know that tomorrow is not promised. God, and we also know that you say today is the day of salvation. God, I just pray that anybody that is longing, Lord, anybody that is lost, anybody that feels the weight of the world on their shoulders, God, they would take this time to unload and load up your goodness. I thank you for all that you do, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.